Hi guys, welcome back to Ice Black Podcast. Today, for the first time in a while, we're doing an English speaking episode. The past few episodes have been in French. So happy for you English speaking listeners that you get to enjoy this episode for the first time in a while. So I have another very exciting guest, someone that I met very recently as part of the conference called Women's Forum. And we were both chosen as youth ambassadors, so basically representing youth voices in this very important topic, which is the inclusion of women voices throughout society. So whether that be in the economy, in different fields such as STEM, in the government spaces, things like that. And so it's been really interesting to have conversations with her. And I thought that it would be great to bring them to this platform because we talked a lot throughout the conference. So I'm happy to have you here. Can you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. So my name is Treasure. I'm from Nigeria, but I've been living in France for about 4 years plus. I work in communications, but more like in the healthcare sector. And I'm so happy to be on the podcast today.
Yay. Okay, so walk us through your background, your lore a little bit. Like, when exactly did you move to France? How has it been adjusting to life in Paris? And what made you want to go from Nigeria to France?
Okay, so I mean, of course, like moving to a new country, it's always very challenging. And I mean, I'm coming from a country where English is the official language. And I didn't know, like, I mean, I knew eats and beats of French, but it wasn't like enough to survive in France. But I still took the risk and I'm grateful for that risk. So I think it started with, I kind of had a dream that I wanted to study abroad for my master's, but I didn't have like a specific place in mind. So by my third year in my undergrad, I already knew like what I was doing wasn't what I wanted to do long term. And I just wanted to like, how can I change it up and what countries would offer me a master's in an area that I wanted to go to. So I was searching mostly like in the UK, obviously, because it's English speaking, it's just going to be easier for me. And then I met like a family friend who studied in France and she was like, yeah, you could like check France. I mean, they're English speaking masters in France as well. So I searched for the course I wanted to do. And then I stumbled on the school that I went to, which is like the French School for Public Health. And I saw like the module on the curriculum and I was like, oh yeah, this is exciting. This is not just like, it gives me different specializations and I get to learn more about different aspects of public health, from policy to like social program, as well as like epidemiology and statistics. So I was like, okay, this is exciting. So I applied, I gave it a shot and I got it. And I was like, but I didn't really think about the depth of what I was going to do. Like, I didn't think about the fact that I was going to move to somewhere else where I had no friends. I knew nobody. My family wasn't going to be there. I don't speak the language. I didn't think about that. I was just really excited about, you know, I was doing something outside of my comfort zone. So then I got into France and like from the airport, I was like, hold up. Oh my gosh, like that's when it really dawned on me, because like everything was like in French. I mean, there are some things of course that are translated in English because the airport, but it was like I turned right, I turned left, and everyone was speaking French around me and I didn't understand anything. And I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? And I think it was my mother who really understood the depth of what I was getting into at the time, and she was the one who was like more scared, even though she was encouraging, but she was the one who was really like scared and calling so many times. Why for me, I was like, I'm so excited. And then that was how my journey started.
Okay, so talk a bit about your undergraduate experience, because you mentioned that you didn't exactly love what you were doing. And I myself, as a first-year master's student, I think there's a big transition that happens between undergraduate and your master's. And so many people don't think that a master's degree is worth it or that you need a master's degree. I mean, it depends on your field, obviously, but I'm a big proponent in getting a master's degree, getting a more specialized degree, or even changing fields from your undergraduate to your master's and going into something that you really love where you see more career opportunities in. And so, could you explain like a bit why you made the decision to pursue a master's degree in the first place?
So I have a so my undergrad was in biochemistry and molecular biology, and I mean there were parts of it that I liked, but I was frustrated. I didn't see myself being in a lab long term. I did a like a 1 year internship working in a lab, and it was such a huge toll on my mental and physical health. I lost so much weight because I was stressed and I was not liking it. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely not for me. And then I started kind of doing like some self-development and learning more about myself, what my strengths are, what I actually enjoy like doing. And I realized like this was not going to be it for me. And I was like, I realized that I find that, or I find that sometimes when you study something, I mean, times are changing now, but before it's like when you study something, you have to kind of go in that same line, and there's no like room for you to change or shift. So I was like, if I don't do a master's in something else that kind of changes me from this trajectory, I'm gonna be stuck doing this kind of job. And I didn't want to do that. So I was like, okay, a master's is gonna be a way for me to transition to something else that potentially could be something I would like, or even if that's not where I go long term, but it's like a better foundation than what I had before. I mean, I'll say that degree, even though I don't quite use it, still helps me a bit. Because I learned, I mean, I got a lot of research skills, which I think is very important regardless of any field you're in. So I think that's one transferable skill that I got out of it. And just analytical thinking, which re is quite required because it's a pure science, life science degree. But aside from that, I didn't get any other thing. So, the master's for me, I thought was like very important for me to have this switch, and then from there I can kind of now navigate or pivot into other areas.
It's an
So I
investment.
think I would definitely like recommend to do it. I mean, I guess maybe some particular courses don't need it, but I think if you want to change that trajectory, or you maybe want to specialize in a specific area that you enjoyed in your undergrad and you just want to focus on that more, I think a master's degree is like would be really great for that.
Definitely. Another question. Okay, question of the day, because everybody always asks this, I feel, especially at the Women's Forum. How is it working in a STEM field as a woman? I know, like, right now, I think your general field is like public health, even though you're in a communications role. Have there been any particular difficulties, any things that you notice, even from your internship experiences in Nigeria? Do you think that there's some evolution happening within the field, even in terms of racial diversity? Like, we talked about this before. In France, I think it's not the best. I mean, it's not the worst, but it's not the best. And sometimes it can lead to feelings of, feeling isolated in the workplace or not feeling like what you bring forward, your work is being valued by your employers. And I think that there's like it can take a toll on you and your performance at work as well. Like, without being too explicit, would you have some words to say about that?
So I mean, I would just go to like backtrack to like Nigeria and use that as an example. I find, or my experience in Nigeria was that when you study a STEM course, And it even depends. So if you study something like engineering, everyone is like, okay, great. You studied a great STEM course. But then when you start going into like the sciences, the pure sciences like physics and chemistry and biochemistry, biology, biotech, then you get an issue because there's not like a very developed sector on those kind of areas. So you find out that you study those courses and there's no actual proper trajectory for you to go. So it's either you become a lecturer or you work in a lab or you end up, at an agency doing research. There's no evolution of what can you do with this degree and the future and all the amazing things you can do with STEM. Or even pure sciences. So you see people who studied like biochemistry or physics, and then they're working in like in a financial institution, or they're working in an NGO, or they're working in entertainment or something. Like from my class in undergrad, I can count like we're very few who actually continued in like a health kind of line. I think out of most of us, maybe only two ended up continuing like the whole biochemistry and going into like biotech and everything. But the rest, some people are now entrepreneurs, do their own business, some people are in events marketing, some people are now in product development, some people are now in financial institutions. Like no one really went forward with it. And I think that's also an issue where there's no clear, especially for young people, clear trajectory of what can they do? What are the amazing things that they can achieve with this degree? I think it's maybe getting a bit better than what it was a few years back, but I don't think it's still there yet. It still needs work. And also, I think even countries, I feel like maybe places like the US sometimes with STEM, there's a bit more, they offer like after you finish, they offer the OPT, for example, training for people in STEM. And I think maybe those can be incentives or things that can be done to encourage more people to get into STEM. And also not just that, also even providing opportunities for them to like use their STEM degrees and actually do something powerful. And I mean, like I said, there were parts of my degree that I liked. And I wish like there were possibilities to, I like, for example, I like the molecular biology side. I love the whole idea of gene mutation. And when I watch a lot of like crime and forensic series, it just brings it to life for me. And it was such an exciting thing. I'm like, oh my God, like I could literally be solving a crime, right, with my knowledge. And it was exciting. That's what helped me get through that particular course because I could see the real life impact of what I was studying. And for many people in STEM, sometimes it almost feels like they can't really see what the real impact is. And we need to be able to bridge that gap between what's being done in the degree and what's actually how it's impacting people's lives. When you do that, you also make more people interested in STEM and wanting to do it. So I think like providing opportunities, more like clear trajectory of what people can do with their STEM degrees will make it even more like exciting for people to do, especially younger people.
Definitely. I can see, I mean, I don't know much about the Nigerian job market, but it seems tough. Have you thought about what you're going to do in the future, whether or not you would like to go back to Nigeria and eventually work there? Or are you seeing yourself more long term staying in Europe or going to the States or another country, for example?
I mean, life happens, and a lot of things you never, I mean, no one thought we're gonna be locked down for almost a full year. So I can't really say, but I do hope to do work in Nigeria. Maybe it might not be something where I'm living there long term or something, but I still want to do like collaborative projects and things in Nigeria. I think there's a huge gap that only us, like people who have kind of gone out of that, you know, space and gone somewhere else and kind of had like different experiences and perspectives can kind of come together and see how best can we overcome the challenges in the country. So I think like I would still want to do work there. But for now, I most likely see myself being in Europe for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be France, it's going to be somewhere else, but I kind of see myself like still being in the European space for a while. Yeah, and then like future-wise, even like job-wise, I mean, I've always, or my main interest has always been in policy. I think it is such an important like aspects in different sectors, social, health, financial, economy, everything. And the right policies shape a whole lot about the society. But then it's kind of like, you know, you also have to have the right people making policies mm-hmm. for people. Mm-hmm. Like, and for me, it's like, I want to be able to have that lived experience. So when I'm bringing policies, I understand the context of where these policies are coming from, yeah. not just as a politician, not just only about politics, but also about what is actually impacting people. And of course, like, it's a journey. Like, I feel like right now I'm working and gaining experience and kind of getting a feel of what not being in that kind of top level is, so mm-hmm. that when I do get there, I can relate and make better policies that are quite inclusive and equitable. Mm-hmm. But that's my long-term goal. So
I love yeah. that. I love that. I think a lot of people in their 20s, mid-20s, late-20s, they tend to feel a lot of pressure or some mm-hmm. sort of anxiety regarding their career prospects. How are they going to plan out their career? When or how are they going to have the correct strategy to be able to reach those career goals and potentially get to that top level executive position? Could you talk to us a little bit about like your journey? You mentioned that you did kind of some soul searching after your undergraduate. How did you get to the point where you are now, where you're like, oh, when I get to that top level position, which, you know, is not the language that I think most people would use. And I love the fact that you're like so confident and like not necessarily stressed about where you're heading, because you know that everything is a journey and it takes time and you're on the right path. How do you get to that point, whether it's like through spiritual growth, personal growth, whatever it is?
I think there's two things for me. So I'm a Christian, so there's my faith as well that kind of drives me in like in comfort that, okay, like regardless of what happens, like God got me.
Yeah.
And I'll be all right, you know, like each has a process and there's mm-hmm. a reason why I'm where I am today. And I'm like, I look back at my life like, and I'm like, 16-year-old me would have never thought I'll be here. Mm-hmm. So I look at that and I'm like, if I've gotten here, then my journey isn't over. Like there's still more in store for me. So there's that part. And then there's also the part of like self-awareness. And that's something that I think I consciously try to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like understanding what my strengths are, who I am as a person, what makes me unique. And realizing that I am me, I am treasure, and there's no other treasure like me.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And knowing that whatever I'm doing, I'm gonna keep growing and growing. And as far as I keep doing this soul searching and understanding, okay, I get to a point and I'm like, okay, you know, this is no longer a passion of mine. I need to go somewhere else. I need to go where my heart, where my passion and strengths are aligning more to.
Mm-hmm.
I go there, I transition to the next phase, and I keep going forward. So I think it's a thing of you never get complacent.
Mm.
And it's easy to kind of get settled and be like, you get a nice job, you spend so much money, you know, you just want to chill, have apéro, you know, have all the hangout and stuff. And then you get complacent and you're not actually doing conscious self-awareness and personal development work, which is really what's going to help you to just keep going and going to the next phase of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it can be quite easy to just settle and just be like, no, I don't want to stress. And honestly, it's work, because you're really pushing yourself outside of your boundaries and things you just want to settle. But it's just realizing that there's so much more in you as a person and potential, and just letting that be like something that kicks you in the butt every time and just be like, nah, I can't just be here. I have to do better, you know. I have to do more. There's so much in me. And then you say, okay, so what next can I do? You know, you learn that, and then you move, and you realize that as you keep going, 10 years from now, you're somewhere different from where you were, and you're even getting closer to your long-term goal of where you want to be. But it's you getting to that point of like not being complacent, and it's very easy. There's a thin line, very, very thin line, and it's very, very easy to like just kind of settle down, but you have to keep like pushing yourself. Of course, no pressure. You're not going to push yourself to a point where you're feeling so much anxiety about the future, but it's also that pushing yourself enough where you want to continue being a better version of yourself, and that's the only way you're going to keep moving forward. If not, you're just going to stay stagnant and you're never going anywhere.
Yeah, I love everything that you just said. I think it also comes from like a deep self-love. Self-esteem is very important, because it's easy to tell people, you know, you have to be confident, you have to know what you can do, what you are bringing to your workplace, what you're bringing to your relationships, whether they be romantic or platonic, but it's so much easier said than done. And I think that that has been one of my realizations this year, you know, like it's, everyone says that, you know, they're confident and they are happy with themselves at a basic surface level. But when you really go deep into it and analyze your interactions with people on a daily basis, analyze how you're handling yourself, the choices that you're making, where you're going in life, like so many people, like you said, are complacent and aren't really doing the work that they claim to be doing in terms of their personal goals. And so I think it's definitely a good reminder as we head into the new year. Speaking of the new year, do you have any particular goals? How has your mindset been going into a new year? You know, I try not to be so like new year, new me, because I feel like change should be made on a daily basis, on a monthly basis. Like you don't need to wait for a new year to achieve anything, but it is like a good little check-in point, I guess. So how do you feel about that?
So, 2024. Oh my gosh, this is so long. I mean, so just like you, it's not like new year, new me, because it's like, okay, you just only changed a date by one day. but I think it's just, I guess, having something that I want to look back at the end of the year and be like, okay, I achieved this, or I did better somewhere, or I grew more in this particular area. And for me, I think one thing I want to focus on is like finances. I think that's like a huge thing, because if we're going to be honest, there's a lot of inflation. The salary is no longer salarying. Let me use that word.
Yes, girl.
So like you've got to hustle up, you know, you've got to make that extra money for the things that you actually want to do, you know, pet project, personal project, passion project and stuff. So that's like something I want to do. I want to like go back to do like freelance work on the side, apply my research skills, because why not? So doing that. And then also, so T actually motivated me during the Women's Conference to pick up, you know, like what I'm actually passionate about. And I think that's also something I've been reflecting on and kind of telling myself, you know, like I look at other people and they've done certain projects and I'm like, oh my God, like this is great. But then I've kind of realized that they started from somewhere, and where they started from isn't where they are right now. And I'm just looking at right now, and I'm not looking at where they started. So I have to start from somewhere. So I'm kind of like using the time before like the new year comes, or just like break and holiday from work, to sort of reflect, look at how I want to move along with my ideas, projects that I want to do regarding like women and young girls. So that's something that I'm really reading. Looking forward to work on this 2024, and hopefully by the end of the year I would have progressed, you know, on that particular project. And that's something I'm really excited about. I think that's like my push for the coming year. So I'm super excited about that. So I mean of course other areas we also work on as well. You always keep being the better version of who you were before, but these are like the two things that are like my main focus for the coming year.
Okay, I love that, like the two things that we talked about during our side conversations at the Women Forum are coming forward, because I have had like a whole epiphany, like since we went to a workshop on personal finances, or like a talk on personal finance. And I, just a couple of days after the forum, I found this YouTuber that does like financial audits. So he brings on guests to his channel and he just analyzes all of their financial records, looking at their debt, student loan, like their income, their budget, how much they're spending, whether it's necessities or not. And I've been really reflecting on that, and like, okay, I'm 23, you know, I haven't had like that big girl job yet where I can make considerable investments, but it's always something that I'm looking towards. And I think it's so, so important for people to have these conversations about personal finances. Mm-hmm. Like, I barely have ever spoken to my friends about personal finances, which is crazy because I did a business degree. Like, if anything, money should be the least taboo thing.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think that in the new year, I really want to make that a priority as well. And I love the fact that you mentioned like your new potential initiatives, working with young women in advocacy, because I really want to see more like solidarity and advocacy and activism, whatever it be. And like the first thing I told you when you were talking about that is I was just like, go for it. If you ever need my help, you know, I'm here, because like there's always something that you can do. A lot of people say like, oh, we don't need more activists, we don't need more like foundations, we don't need more, like, but we do. Like, look at the state of the world right now. Clearly we do.
There's such a large population in the world, so we clearly do. Yes. Like, we don't have enough for the population.
Yes, and it's easy to, you know, criticize our governments and our leaders and things like that, but we can also make a change. And if anything, you're dumbing yourself down by thinking that you don't have any impact on the world. Every single choice you make on a daily basis has some sort of impact. So I think that that is my last message for this episode. I'm so glad that I got to speak with you. Like, we need like another episode or something, because there's so many more things I want to touch on. But do you have any last words for our audience, whether it be to the Nigerian people who may be listening from back home, any young girl who's willing to, who wants to get into a STEM field, like any inspirational quote?
So I mean, I think what I would just say is, when you see an opportunity, like, go for it, like, apply. Like, I feel like most of my experiences, I mean, some are formal or internships, while sometimes they are just things I did on the side, like pet projects. My current job was basically from pet projects. I had a blog where I used to use on WordPress. I got to use Canva at the early stages when Canva was launched, even before it became popular.
Wow.
So I learned how to use it on my own. I did volunteer with any place they said there was volunteer work, and I was like, oh yeah, this looks interesting. I applied. It was a lot of work, of course, but I did it. And that was how I got my current job, from all of those pet projects. I got the skills. I looked at it, I was like, yeah, this is no big deal, I can do it. And that's how I ended up in communications, because it was something I did on the side. So I just kind of like was saying, you see something you like, And it's possible, of course, there are limitations and maybe other things. But if something you can do remote, you don't need a visa for it, you're at home or whatever, just do it. Just do it. It's really gonna, like, I feel like gonna help you in the long run, because you never know when you're gonna need it. Also, as my mom used to say, she's like, anywhere you see an information, stop and read it, because you never know when you're gonna need it. And it's the truth. I realized that I see something, and then like maybe a month after, I'm like, oh yeah, someone asked me about it. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember this, this, that, that, that. And it makes you so much more knowledgeable, and people really think you're smart. And trust me, that makes a very good impression. I'm not gonna lie. A lot of things that I know, I just happen to stumble on them, and I read it, and I get that knowledge, and I move on. Getting knowledge, be knowledgeable, or educate yourself doesn't necessarily have to be about reading a 50-page book or 250-page book. You can learn from anything, like anything, even on Instagram, depending on what you're following. Even on Instagram, you can learn. And it just makes you a whole lot smarter, knowledgeable about the world, knowledgeable about people, knowledgeable about your environment and things that you do. So yeah, and one last word is don't, I mean, I know life is tough and I get it, but you know what, you are you, you're unique, and the world needs you. Like, I tell myself that every day, like, girl, the world needs you. There's someone out there that needs you to let your light shine and your voice shine for them to live out their own potential. So you've got to start working, girl. Okay, boy and non-binary, if you don't ascribe to any gender.
Period. I love that. Oh my god, thank you so much, Treasure, for coming on to the podcast. You brought whole new energy that I don't think like any other guest has brought on, so I really, really appreciate you. Thank you so
much. I'm glad to hear that, and hopefully everyone that listens, like, you know, get something to go with.
100%. 100%. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Bye.